Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest this week is comedian and carryover champ Raewyn Pickering.
Ooh,
sorry, there's a ghost in the studio.
Sorry, I could not contain my excitement. I'm very...
That was...
It was mouth a little bit scream. Of a.
Well, I don't want to open mouth scream in this environment.
No, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Our second guest this week is comedian and woman of letters, Prue Blake.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful title.
Hey. Well, I mean, if it's not clear yet, the guests have all just written their own introductions. And our third guest, you know him. You love him from award-winning punk art video project, Talking Biscotti. Please welcome comedian Andrew Portelli.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me. You forgot to mention I'm the only one who didn't write his own introduction.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see if the listeners buy that. Now, the way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and they have to guess which one is correct. Okay, are we ready to play?
Yeah. Yeah.
The first question comes from listener Rachel from London and the question is... Ooh. What does horripilation mean? What does horripilation mean? While they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put two of my own fake answers for each question in with the help of the question writers and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 3 points per round. Seems fair, but the probability actually favours me, the house. And the house always wins, though. If you've been listening to recent episodes, you'll know that I haven't won in about 6 weeks. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. And if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dugongpod, linked in the show notes.
You're really good at filling up that silence.
Got it down to a fine art over 16 episodes.
Bit of patter.
Yeah, that was really good. But let me know if you want some wet mouth sounds in that little break there.
I'm okay for now. Thank you. We'll let you know.
I want dry mouth sounds.
Yeah.
Can't help you then. Because this mouth is wet.
All right, the answers are in. So let's go back to question number one. What does horripilation mean? Here are your six options. The sensation that a spider is on you after you've walked through a spider web. When something is scary but spacious, like a warehouse with a ghost in it. When your head or body hair bristles from fright or excitement. Using an epilator for a Brazilian.
Oof.
Or feeling full after eating too many hors d'oeuvres. Well, hang on, there's one more. Getting fingered during a scary movie. Apologies for leaving that one out.
Wow.
So do you want me to run through them again or are you feeling like you got an answer here?
I've got the answer.
Yeah. Hello. Okay. Confident.
Well, if you lock it in first, that'll really help Prue and Raewyn, I suppose. What are you going with?
I think it's the first one.
The first one, the sensation that a spider is on you after you've walked through a spider web.
Yeah.
Locking that in for
really? Okay.
The portman. Do you need to hear any of the other ones, Prue?
No, I'm ready to lock in.
What are you going with?
I'm going with hair standing on end.
Yeah.
Great. Locking that in for Prue.
I reckon that's it, logically.
Okay. Are we trying to get the right answer?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great.
The twist is...
Twist is golf for rules. Yourself every time.
Yeah. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Getting fingered during a scary movie, that was written by Prue.
Yeah.
And I feel like I didn't help your chances by forgetting to read it out.
Yeah. But that could have been the right answer.
It could have been.
That you're like, oh, they put that in a different place.
Yeah, <that's right. laughs>
Could you use that in a sentence?
Oh, yeah. I got absolutely horripilationed at the Cinema Nova the other weekend.
That's a verb.
Or enjoyed a bit of horripilation. Just an arty flick.
Nova. Feeling full after eating too many hors d'oeuvres, that was the house. Using an epilator for a Brazilian was Raywin.
Wow.
One of the two hair-related answers. when something is scary but spacious, like a warehouse with a ghost in it, that was written by Portelli.
Wow.
The sensation that a spider is on you after you've walked through a spider web, that was written by the house. One point of the house there.
Luck, Portelli.
Meaning the correct answer is when your head or body hair bristles from fright or excitement.
That is exciting. Yeah. My hair's a totally horrible Asian right
yes.
now.
Well, because, yeah, maybe it's only like women that would know what an – do you know what an epilator is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like a lot of tweezers all together.
Yeah.
Why do you ask?
Just because you didn't go for that one at all.
It's the only reason that Portelli must have missed it is he mustn't have understood it.
Was so
the confidence there, Ray. Okay, I mean, you're coming in hot as the.
It was such an enchanting.
Do you know what an epilator is?
I'm a bit cocky. Well, I just assumed because you wouldn't have used. Sorry, that's assuming. Maybe you have used one. I'm sorry.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But I know people who have. Yeah. Well. But no, I just didn't put it together. Horripilation.
Epilation.
To me sounds like epilation.
Oh, I see.
So that's why I was like, oh, yeah.
But I would have guessed that yours was the spider walking through a spider web, being from country Queensland.
Oh.
Just like, I was like, well, that's obviously Raywin.
Well, wasn't.
Plus, I don't. Raywin's never worried of spiders on her. She'll just be going about her day.
They're just a part of you.
Yeah.
If anything, cheer it up.
Yeah. It's glee-lation. Yeah. If anything.
All right, quick score check after round one. Portelli on 0 points, but on equal lead with 1 point, it's Raywin, Prue, and the house. Basically, whoa, everyone but Portelli.
Okay, game. Interesting. Yay. Attitude. Okay.
Eat our dust.
All right, question number two comes from Craig from Dana Point in California. And the question is, in 1990, Charles Osborne of Anthon, Iowa, achieved the Guinness World Record for what? In 1990, Charles Osborne of Anthon, Iowa, achieved the Guinness World Record for what? And while you're writing your answers, here's some more information on horripilation. Merriam-Webster quotes Stephen King, who used the words in one of his books, when he wrote, "Suddenly he was swept by horripilation. The goosebumps swept up from his ankles all the way to the nape of his neck, where the hair stirred and tried to lift." Never read Stephen King before, but what beautiful prose that
like
is.
Like a perfect description of getting fingered.
In a scary movie?
In a scary movie.
In a Stephen King movie,
yes.
Maybe. Whoa.
All comes around. It's like Portelli's writing like the Latin origin for his answers.
Yeah, sometimes when someone's clearly taken the longest and then there's one answer that goes for really three paragraphs, like, wonder who's that could have been?
Yeah, no, I was texting my mum.
Got to do it.
Yeah.
All right, the answers are in. Here is question number two. In 1990, Charles Osborne of Anthon, Iowa, achieved the Guinness World Record for what? Longest span of time without blinking, 6 minutes and 41 seconds. Most pennies fit into one person's mouth. The longest attack of hiccups, 68 years. Ooh. Putting the most Wonka nerds up his nose. He managed 23 in the left nostril and 31 in the right. The first man to eat a full hog from snout to tail, including skin and bone, in under 1 hour.
Say that again.
The first man to eat a full hog from snout to tail, including skin and bone, in under 1 hour. Or wow. Balancing the most rubber ducks on a Jeep. There's no way you can write something that's too silly for a world record attempt because there's so many of them.
That's the weird thing.
Very bonkers.
But it was early on in the Guinness World Record.
Yeah, 1990.
So some early, you still had some sway, you know. You didn't have to go completely insane with it.
All right. Does anyone have any thoughts here?
Mm. Ooh, I'm leaning, personally, hiccups.
Hiccups? Should I lock it in?
Lock it in.
Lock it in. Oh, I love that confidence.
Yes, he's hiccuping away.
What are the options?
Longest span of time without blinking. Most pennies fit into one person's mouth. Longest attack of the hiccups. Putting the most Wonka nerds up his nose, first man to eat a full hog from snout to tail, or balancing the most rubber ducks on a Jeep?
The first one.
First one.
Blinking.
Most
Do we know if he still holds this record?
I believe he still holds this record.
Okay. I reckon pennies then. I was going to do the blinking.
All right. Locking in most pennies. For Owen, here's who wrote the answers. Balancing the most rubber ducks on a Jeep, that was Prue.
That's a real thing in Ohio. I saw a Facebook group about it.
Really?
What?
Yeah, they have like, it's called Jeep. if you have someone that you park next to a Jeep, you leave like a little rubber duck on their Jeep.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
And why would you do that?
Just a little bit of fun, Portelli. Just to lighten up life.
Right.
Beautiful.
Feel connected to something.
Yeah. So you buy a Jeep.
And then,
and
some ducks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit on it.
Yeah, do you think people would be more likely or less likely to buy a Jeep in Ohio because of this?
I think more.
More, yeah.
Yeah.
For definitely. Community spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like it calling it, because is it a play on Duck Duck Goose?
I don't know what it's a play on.
Duck Duck Jeep.
No.
It doesn't really make sense.
Doesn't really work.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
But it doesn't it's stop
better
me
than
loving
like
it.
Duck Duck Hyundai or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
At least there's one word.
Portelli, do you want to lock something in?
I already have.
Great. And everyone has. Fantastic. I think we need to move on with the show.
You're already giving Portelli a handicap. You're like, Phil, disclose one answer was a lie, and then you can lock in again, Portelli.
I already have. Who's in control of this operation?
Well, I don't think anyone has a stronghold. okay, well, let's keep going through who wrote the answers then.
Why not?
if you don't want to change your answer, Portelli, fine. The first man to eat a full hog from snout to tail, including skin and bone, that was the house.
Wow.
Putting the most Wonka nerds up his nose, that was Raywin.
Really?
So one of the three of you is correct.
Whoa. Suspense.
So we had... Wait, hang on. My system here is putting a letter next to the guess, and I've put P next to two different letters for Prue and Portelli. And it's not an ideal system.
That wouldn't work.
So who picked which again?
I picked hiccups.
You pick hiccups. Okay, great.
I picked
blinking.
Blinking, yeah.
I'm going to change your letter to A.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Hey, consistency's sake.
Just in case anyone at home is wanting the full picture in their mind.
Sure.
That's movie magic.
Yeah.
So longest.
Oh, but wait, the second letter of Raywin is an A, so will that get confusing?
Shit. Maybe that's true.
And you could have done P my for all three name. Of us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god.
Your system is crumbling.
Longest span of time without blinking. That's what Andrew locked in.
Great.
That was written by the house, particularly Craig, the question writer. Most pennies fit into one person's mouth, which Raywin chose. That was Portelli. Meaning the correct answer was the longest attack of the hiccup, 68 years.
Hooray!
So 1 point for Prue, 1 point for Patelli, and 1 point for the house.
That's a lot of hiccups.
That's a lot.
And who is the house?
I'm sort of the house, me and the question writers. It's, it's sort of an ethereal being.
So, and you write, so there are two house.
Yeah.
Right. Ah. Oh.
So there's a bit of a mathematical advantage for the house, but also I don't have the chance to pick a correct one. So we can only each of us can only get two maximum points each round, but I am favoured. But I also try and write one ridiculous one that no one will pick. In this case, eating a hog, including its skeleton.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was just the same as eating a plane.
That's a good point as well.
It was
putting the hour time limit on. I was like, I don't think he could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Raywin wrote that one.
Me too.
Who else would use the word snout?
anatomically correct.
This is very Raywin-esque.
I'm getting really into the details of the trotters.
All right.
I love my brand.
It's so strong.
It's really,
snout.
Spiders.
Hooves. Yeah.
That's funny because the two that they've thought you wrote, I wrote them both. So somehow your brand is my brand? Or I'm moving in on your brand.
Yeah.
Okay, quick score update. After two rounds, Raywin is on 1 point. Portelli is on 1 point. But in the lead, it's Prue and the house on 2 points each.
Whoa.
Okay. All right.
And we're up to question number three. This one comes from Riley Ness from South Elgin in Illinois. And the question is, what was the nickname of early 1900s baseballer Charlie Hickman? What was the nickname of early 1900s baseballer Charlie Hickman? While you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about Charles Osborne's record. According to the Guinness World Records website, Charles Osborne started hiccuping in 1922 while attempting to weigh a hog before slaughtering it. Little insight into how I came up with the hog answer now. He was unable to find a cure, but led a normal life in which he had two wives and fathered eight children. He continued until a morning in Feb 1990. So he
lived after, so I just assumed he died.
He lived for like two more years, hiccup free, I think.
Oh, imagine those blissful years.
I think he missed the hiccups.
There's a couple of comments on the World Records website with people being like, and was there someone checking with him the whole time? Like they were like, I don't believe it.
You think it was start stop?
Yeah, that's what they seem to suggest.
How do you define continuous?
Good point.
So obviously, he'd have to sleep. So you can sleep with the hiccups, I guess.
So.
Amazing.
The question writer, Craig, he wrote, what would you do if you had to go for a world record? And then he said, If I had to attempt a world record, I think I would try to set the record for world's largest breakfast burrito. Picture a 5-meter diameter tortilla and about 421 scrambled eggs. Then let your mind run wild from there.
Wow.
And then I'm thinking a big turd.
World record.
Coming out the end.
So he's going to make it or he's going to eat it?
Yeah, I guess.
Or is just the record is there is the world's biggest breakfast burrito. I think my record would be world's funniest comedy festival show.
Oh, and what is that titled? What would you title a show like that?
I think hypothetically I'd title it, Hey, Great to Catch Up. Sorry, everyone.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Prue, if you were going for a record, best ever comedy festival show, what title would you give it?
For the best ever comedy festival show?
Yeah, perhaps maybe the one that you're doing next year.
Yeah, the one I'm doing next year is called Unfriended. And it's in the running, I think. In the running for a record.
Any thoughts for you, Raywin?
Look, I think I would like it to be a saying, but also something that's like rolls off the tongue. It's like, I feel like Bush Week is a nice.
Oh.
Yeah, very on brand.
Yeah. Got a brand.
Is there going to be much hog related material in the show?
Oh, well, I will definitely write some now. Yeah. More pig, less hog, but okay. I'll work some hog in.
Fantastic. Could I suggest a title for you, Rowan?
Yeah.
What about?
You can give it a go.
If you want the hog, you get the trotters.
And then it's Raywin dressed up.
You know,
she's got two big hooves.
and I look confused.
And you've got a pig nose.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then the opening of the show is.
And the closing.
Yes. And the middle.
And 48 minutes of.
And you have to escape from a hog tie the whole time.
Yeah.
Wow.
It could be the longest, maybe that's a world record, the longest impersonation of a pig.
Yes.
Yes.
That's probably.
While covered in oil.
What?
Well, because they were longer. Beautiful. People trying to escape as a pig or whatever. So they had to add an extra element.
Yeah.
And it was oil.
Yeah.
All right. The answers are in for question number three. What was the nickname of early 1900s baseballer Charlie Hickman? Here are your six options. The Gnat with the Bat, Piano Legs, The Dinger, The Wichita Pitchita.
I love that one.
The Wet Hickey or The Big Stick Man.
These all sound so weird.
I know, like, old-timey nicknames are always a bit weird. Yeah. But yeah. Charlie Hickman, The Big Stick Man. So you got The Gnat with the Bat, Piano Legs, The Dinger, The Wichita Pitchita, The Wet Hickey or The Big Stick Man.
And his name was Charlie Hickman.
Charlie Hickman.
Right.
Raywin, what are you thinking?
I like Piano Legs because it kind of, maybe he's just a really fast runner. He's just.
You know, thinking of
like
piano.
Famously fast piano legs. Like,
that's where my mind goes. Yep. He must do a lot of runs. I reckon he's locking a piano man.
Piano legs for Raywin.
Piano man.
Billy Joel.
That's so good. You a baseballer, Portelli?
Yes.
You got a bit of big baseball vibe about you?
Yeah, I love baseball.
Yeah.
The sport of baseball.
Yeah, yeah, the sport of baseball is what we're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, America's pastime.
Yeah.
Australia's, like, if you're kind of a bit weird, pastime.
Yeah. You know, I'm wearing an Australian baseball hat at the moment. It's the Melbourne Aces.
Oh.
Wow, so you're trying really hard to be obscure.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
it was just a hat a guy gave me.
Oh, well, that's fine.
A few years ago, I posted about how I lost my favorite hat, and I posted like 20 photos of me wearing that hat.
Yeah.
And then this guy from Tassie in the comedy scene down there, he's got a connection to Australian baseball, and he gave me like 10, every team in Australian baseball, their hat.
Really?
Oh.
That must be really valuable.
Oh, yeah. I think that's why the gesture was so meaningful.
Yeah. Mm.
There's 10 teams. What's the Queensland one? Do you know?
Oh, the Brisbane boys.
Brisbane boys. Oh, yeah.
Helmed by old piano legs.
The Brisbane Bandits.
Very close.
Perth Heat.
Beautiful.
Yeah, the Perth.
That, yeah.
Oh. Really? So every sport gets a Heat team?
Yeah.
Yeah, every sport.
All the WA, a lot of the WA teams have Heat, like the Perth's Scorchers in 2020.
But in 2020, Brisbane are the Heat, aren't they?
Yeah, no, Brisbane had a Heat.
Miami's the Heat.
Miami's got Heat.
Jeez,
a lot of connections there.
A lot of hot places in the world.
So Ray one's locked in piano leg. Did I get an answer from you, Portelli?
You tell me. I haven't
written anything down.
The stick man.
Stick man for Portelli, which I'm putting down an A for.
Yes. Good learning.
What do you think of Prue?
I can't go past the Wichita Pitchitar.
Okay. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. The Gnat with the Bat, that was written by The House, especially by Riley, the question writer. The Dinger was written by Portelli, which is that's a baseball term, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's hitting a really big one, isn't it?
Yeah, that was me trying.
You're counting on us having knowledge about baseball.
Yeah, my mistake.
In America, that means a big baseball hit. In Australia, it means a condom.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
So it works in two ways. The Wet Hickey, that was Raywin. Can you talk us through that one?
Well, because the Hickman.
Oh, yeah. And the wetness.
Little twist.
Bit of spice.
Yeah.
The Big Stick Man. That was Prue.
Pretty good.
Love that rhyming word.
Really good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You'd want that nickname.
The Big Stick Man.
Yeah.
Andrew the Big Stick Man Portelli.
Tell me you don't want it.
I don't want it.
He gave you what you wanted there, Prue. So that's one point for Prue. Yeah. The Wichita Pitchitter, that was The House.
Oh, it was really good, The House.
Thank you very much, Prue. But Raywin was correct. It was Piano Legs.
See, that reasoning, you laughed
what
at it.
What reasoning? I still don't understand.
It was sound reasoning. That it's just pianos. You go up and down the keys. So he's real Piano Legs.
So that's 1 point for Raywin, 1 point for Prue, 1 point for The House. And I couldn't figure it out either. I did a lot of Googling last night trying to figure out how we got this nickname.
So we're never going to get closure on that.
Makes sense.
I'm going to quote.
What way?
Was one leg black and one was white?
Oh, wouldn't that be.
That would
piano
make sense.
Keys, though, wouldn't it be?
Oh, yeah.
Piano key legs.
What legs does a piano have?
Yeah, I just wouldn't they be similar to like a table's legs or something?
I know, Raymond. You keep saying it like it's obvious. Yeah. It's not obvious.
Just think about it for a second.
I'm picturing a piano in my mind.
Yeah, and how fast they roll.
Well, I think it seems like it means the opposite to what you said, because this is from a 1906 Washington Times article, which wrote, "There has been a lot of fun poked at the piano legs of C. Hickman, but as a matter of fact, he gets over the ground at a surprising rate of speed."
Okay.
So it's sort of saying like, despite the nickname, piano legs, he's actually pretty quick.
So he moves like he has two pianos for legs. Is
that he must have big legs.
Big thighs.
Because I'm picked like every piano would have a different sort of, there'd be piano with skinny legs and pianos with big legs, wouldn't there?
Pianos definitely have feet.
Feet.
Oh, yeah. I've been, you know what? I've been picturing a studio piano, like the one that goes against the wall.
Right.
Grand piano has legs.
Legs, yes. No, I've been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But I've been doing it for longer. I've been doing it since yesterday. All right, we're up to question number four. This one comes from Eva Redman of Tasmania. The question is, what was the Northern Territory News, the NT News, front page headline on the 30th of September 2010? The NT News, famously kind of wacky headlines. So what was the NT News front page headline on the 30th of September 2010? While you're writing those answers, here's a little bit more information about old piano legs. According to sabr.org, Piano Legs possessed one of the dead ball era's most potent bats. In 1903, Hickman hit one ball 100 feet over the left field fence at Cleveland's League Park and another completely out of New York's Hilltop Park. So basically, he could smash the ball a long, long way. Throughout his 12-year major league career, he was always a fan favorite. His genial nature, outgoing personality, and friendliness were hallmarks throughout his life. In reporting his passing, the Morgantown Post said, "It could be safely said he had no personal enemies." Which is a wild...
It's like, was that rumored?
Yeah. It sounds a bit defensive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He certainly had no personal enemies.
You can safely say that.
I would have thought that that's most people, right?
I've got enemies.
Oh, I mean, you've got it. I'm not saying all people. Prue's obviously got quite a few personal enemies.
Of course.
But yeah, apparently this led to one of his other nicknames. I guess it was sort of, they were under...
The Stick Man.
The Stick Man. Cheerful Charlie was one of his other nicknames.
Oh, yuck.
Cheerful Charlie.
Don't like that. Cheerful Charlie, the old piano legs.
Yeah. You take piano legs over Cheerful Charlie?
Yeah. Come here, piano legs.
Come here, piano legs. Is that your name for a dog or something?
Or a lover.
Oh, lover, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I talk to dogs like lovers.
It's like a lot of people do.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. The answers are in. Here is question number four. What was the NT News front page headline on the 30th of September 2010? Croc on the rock. Crocodile spotted on Uluru. Deadly croc hocks Doc Socks. Crocodile Dunny. Man finds full-size crocodile using his toilet. Unidentified flying wardrobe set to take territory fashion into the space age. Crocodoodle-doo.
It's really croc-related.
An unlikely friendship has this farmer stumped. Or horny ghost haunts house. If you thought Casper was friendly, you should meet Kevin.
I think I've seen that one.
Well, that could be a good clue. Did you see it on the 30th of September 2010, though?
Wow.
No, I saw it on Pornhub.
Do you need to hear them again or you got them all down?
Could I hear them again, please, yeah. Matthew?
Croc on the rock, crocodile spotted on Uluru. Deadly croc, hock, stock, socks. Crocodile Dunny.
What that is. Hock, stocks?
Deadly croc, hocks, docks, socks.
What do you think that is trying to say?
I think it's saying that a deadly croc stole a doctor's socks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Hocks, docks, socks. Hocks, okay, docks. I get it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Crocodile Dunny. Man finds full-size crocodile using his toilet. Unidentified flying wardrobe set to take territory fashion into the space age. Crocodoodle-doo. An unlikely friendship has this farmer stumped. Or horny ghost haunts house. If you thought Casper was friendly, you should meet Kevin.
Wow. I like crocodoodle-doo.
Crocodoodle-doo for Prue.
Yes, please.
I'll lock that in.
Crocodoodle Prue.
Yes, it just makes sense.
That's your next show.
That's your next show. When you tour Northern Territory.
I'm going to start stealing Raywood's content.
What do you reckon, Portelli?
The ghost one.
Ghost one?
Yeah.
Mm. I would have bet my life that you wrote that.
And me too.
Like, your life. Imagine that's why you died. I made a bad bet.
Go big or go home, I guess.
I absolutely would have guessed that too. It's like horny ghost, that is Portelli's brand.
Yeah. Is it really?
I don't know what my brand is, so that's interesting.
Yeah, okay. That's, you've learned a lot.
It's one of the tricks to figuring out comedy, right? Knowing how the audience sees you. Yeah. Does this help you?
No, they're just always, they're laughing so hard, I can't work it out. Yeah. So.
If anything, their eyes are closed.
Yeah. They're concentrating on the jokes.
Yeah.
And how much they're enjoying it.
What about you, Raewyn?
I like the Dunny one, the
Crocodile Dunny. Dunny. All right, lock that in for Raewyn.
I wrote that.
And I changed my
All right, here is who wrote the answers. Croc on the Rock, Crocodile Spotted on Uluru. That was Portelli.
Yes.
How would it get in there?
Yeah. Faked you out. What's that?
How did you get in there?
Well, that's why it's such a great idea for a story. That would be front page news.
Fiction, yeah.
That would be front page news if there was a croc.
Beautiful. On the rock.
On Uluru, yeah.
Deadly Croc, Hox, Doc, Socks. That was the house.
You really had to justify it.
Yeah. I know, like, well, it actually makes quite a lot of sense.
But Hox means cell.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then what it is a deadly croc sold a doctor's socks. Yeah. That makes slightly less sense somehow. I'm like, it doesn't make any, okay.
What damn. Need for currency.
Yeah, hox means sell. I don't know why I thought it meant steal. I feel foolish now. Unidentified flying wardrobe set to take territory fashion in a space age. That was also the house. I was struggling to think of a second one.
Yeah.
So I just... pointed in my room. And, you know, the wardrobe. It would have either been about a bed or a wardrobe.
Really, barely needed to point.
Yeah.
or a scary ventriloquist stunt.
That's true. They're the three things I sleep with.
Or an Australian baseball team cap.
Yeah. Well, 10 to choose from.
Yeah. Oh, that means one of the three of you is correct. Crocodile Dunny, man finds full-size crocodile using his toilet, which Raewyn picked. That was Prue. So one point to Prue.
Well done.
Yeah. Crocodoodle-doo, an unlikely friendship has this farmer stumped, which Prue picked. That was Raewyn. Had a little point swap there.
Yeah, beautiful trade.
Meaning that Portelli was right. Horny ghost haunts house.
What?
Wow. If you thought Casper was friendly, you should meet Kevin. That means one point to Raewyn, 1 point to Prue, and 1 point to Portelli.
So you genuinely remembered that article?
No. I was joking about seeing that as a porno that I
watched. I thought you were just a big reader.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I am a big reader.
That's why you have the subtitles on the porn.
That's actually pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
No, like that, nice. You could, yeah.
That could be 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not what she said, but.
Oh, the champ is coming out.
All right, so quick score update. We've got in fourth place on 2 points, it is Portelli. In equal second place, it is Raewyn and the house on 3 points. But out in front on 4 points, it's Prue.
Hey.
Prue has just been scoring 1 point every round.
Is that not what you're meant to do?
No, I think you're nailing it.
Yeah, okay, great.
I mean, ideally you'd get 2 points in a round or even three.
How do I do that? Oh, someone guesses me. And
two
I
people guess correct. You guess correct, you get the maximum 3 points.
Wow. I can only dream of such heights.
But at this stage, it is anyone's game. You know, Portelli could jump into the lead with a three-point round now. As we head into question number 5, 3 questions to go. This one comes from David Malofsky from London, England. And his question is, which of these is a real reptile? Which of these is a real reptile? So you've basically just got to come up with a fake reptile species.
Oh, so that's the whole question.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So just make up, ideally not a, yeah, you don't want to accidentally do a real one.
Yeah.
But it's got to sound realistic enough that. Yeah. Oh,
I mean, geez, it's a fine art,
love
isn't it?
Love it.
While you're writing your answers, let me fill in some more info for you on that horny ghost story. The Northern Territory News is behind a paywall, but I found another story about it on Nine News, which wrote, a Northern Territory woman who claims to have been pulled out of bed by a horny ghost that haunts her house says she has no plans to get rid of it. Jennifer Mills-Young, 47, who lives near Darwin, has become a media sensation after claiming her home is haunted by a ghost she calls Kevin. She claims she was grabbed by Kevin while she was asleep, but managed to shake him off. He grabbed my wrist and started pulling me up. I was thinking, what do you want me to do? When I opened my eyes, I realized what was going on. I had locked my door, but now it was ajar. When he got into bed with me, he crossed the line, and I had to let him know that. But Mrs. Mills-Young insisted she did not mind Kevin being around the house. He wasn't rough. There was no aggression. I'm used to him, she said. Her husband, Jeff, also 47, spoke to 9MSN from Puckapunyal, where he is stationed with the Defence Force. My wife's had a lot to do with ghosts, he said. Does it sound to you like she's having affairs?
Yeah, yes. She's sleeping with a ghost. Yeah. And Kevin knows.
Yes.
Oh, no, well, Kevin's the ghost.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff knows.
Jeff knows.
Jeff goes on, and I've also seen Kevin. Earlier this year, I saw someone walking through the house from a gate on one side of the house to the other. I jumped up, but no one was there. They say their son and daughter, aged 19 and 20, have also seen Kevin.
So I think this whole family has fucked Kevin.
The family has lived in the house for almost 2 years. It is leased from a private company by the Defence Force. Neither Jeff or Jennifer knows the history of the building. Mrs. Mills-Young said there is no history of drink or drug problems in the family. I don't know why I laughed there. And why is the ghost? It's just funny the journalist is like, and just double checking, yeah, any history of drink or drug abuse.
Well, I guess this is legit then. Yeah.
Finally, they asked, why is the ghost called Kevin? Because she named the ghost herself. Mm. And she said, Darwin is a very blokey place. And Kevin is about as blokey a name as you can get.
And it's a blokey ghost.
Yeah, I guess it's a blokey ghost. Okay. A horny ghost, a blokey ghost.
Mm-hmm. One and the same.
Is Kevin a blokey name?
Yeah.
Okay. Just double checking.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Are we sure that it's not less blokey than Matt?
Yeah. I think Matt is really testosterone charged.
Yeah, no variation in the types of Matt you meet.
But I think Kevin, I think of like, you know, Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. I guess he's pretty blokey.
He's a little boy, so probably too early to say.
Yeah, that's true.
Look at that little bloke.
But he's committing like a little assault.
Yeah.
That's true. Setting traps.
Yeah.
Okay, the answers are in. So here is question number 5. Which of these is a real reptile? Satanic leaf-tailed gecko, a vimalay, which is a lizard from Guatemala that can, if frightened, release a pleasant aroma similar to mangoes. The huge honking lizard, the loose-assed ass lizard, big schlong.
That one sounds right to me.
Dr. Schlong, I think I know him that one.
The scaly brow lizard or normal snake with human eyes.
There is a fish with human teeth.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you mean?
That it is a real animal that exists.
Yeah.
Its mouth is full of human teeth.
What do you mean it's its mouth is full of human teeth, though?
I don't think we need to explore it.
Human-like teeth? Or is it?
Human-like teeth.
Yeah, you can see
it's very
why.
Very explanatory.
Not just loose teeth. Yeah. Just hanging out the back.
It's
of
always just going around. Rattle around.
And does it smile?
I guess hard to say for
I don't know if I want to look this up
no,
or not.
Look it up.
Please look it up. Does it have lips?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And a tongue?
It's real.
Oh no. No. No, I don't like it. Oh no.
Yes.
Hey Jamie, pull this up.
Oh wow.
Oh, that's beautiful. Cool.
Nature is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's
so mysterious.
I'm gonna try and forget about that before I go
but
to
look
bed
it up
tonight.
At home, listeners.
Does anyone have any inkling on which way they want to go here?
Oh, can I hear them again?
Mm. Sure. Mm. Satanic leaf-tailed gecko, the vimalay, the Guatemalan one that releases aroma similar to mangoes.
Overexplained.
I agree.
The huge honking lizard, the loose-assed ass lizard big schlong.
To me, that one sounds right.
The scaly brow lizard or normal snake with human eyes.
I still can't remember them.
I'm going to need to hear them one more time.
Roll it through.
So you have the satanic leaf-tailed gecko, vimalay, huge honking lizard, loose-assed ass lizard, big schlong, scaly brow lizard or normal snake with right. human eyes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to go first and go huge honking lizard, I reckon.
Wow, huge okay. Honking. You know animals.
Strange enough, but yeah.
Huge honking lizard for Raewyn. Portelli or Prue, any Any thoughts here?
I'm still trying to remember what they are.
Yeah, I think I'd like to go the satanic gecko.
Satanic leaf-tailed gecko for yep. Prue.
I've seen geckos torment my family's cats before.
Yeah.
Oh.
Quite a satanic
with their leaf wow. tails.
With their leaf tails.
What was the third one, sorry?
Huge honking lizard.
And what was the fourth one?
Loose-assed ass lizard big schlong.
And...
You were really confident on that
yeah.
one. Totally.
Yeah, the second one.
The Vimalay with the mango smell.
Okay, I'm going to go for the first one.
Satanic leaf-tailed gecko.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through who wrote the
answers.
Oh, there
was the normal.
Normal snake normal, with human yeah, eyes.
That one
is a beautiful
well.
Name for a boy or girl.
Yeah.
That one was actually written by the house.
Oh.
Cool. And it's funny because I toyed with normal snake with human mouth.
Wow.
Which is
that would have got me.
That was
yeah.
very close to that fish.
That's just a fleshlight.
Oh god.
God.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful way to describe it. scaly brow lizard, that was Prue. Loose assed ass lizard big schlong, that was Portelli.
That was the house.
the Vimalay with the mango smell, that was Raywin.
Yeah, look, I thought you had to have a little thing. So, yes, it was over-explained. It was over-explained.
I wasn't sure. That happened on a previous episode where Andy Matthews over-explained one, and I only just read the name, and he was like, and is there any other info on that fourth option? So I'm like, oh, I guess I better.
People have won, you know, yeah. the whole yeah. thing.
So I was torn which way to yeah. go there, but sorry if I butchered that for you or didn't explain the question yeah. very well. Although, you know, the other two people seem
apparently.
To understand.
Okay.
So.
All right.
The huge honking lizard with which Raywin went for, that was the house.
Oh,
I mean, the correct answer is the satanic leaf-tailed
Prue!
Gecko.
Yes. Yes.
How did you do? How'd you do it again?
I explained my reasoning the first time, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's
oh.
a
it was more of a rhetorical.
Yeah. I'd make logical guesses based on the best possible information.
Oh, okay, that's an interesting strategy.
Funny,
okay.
funny.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, quick score update. We've now got on 3 points, Raywin and Portelli. The house on 4 points, but out in front it's Prue on 5 points.
Wow. Damn.
It is still
Damn.
Truly anyone's game.
But less so Good. Every round.
Wow. Real cocky there, Prue.
Everyone can still get 6 points over the last two rounds. 3 points up for grabs each time. So
I'm
really,
to
it's anyone's
from
game.
Grace.
Question six was written by John Wick in brackets. Yes, that's my real name okay. from middle of somewhere. And John's
well, that
question.
Makes me
yeah, yeah, I know.
Okay.
John's question is: a sporting event was interrupted in Toronto on the 28th of August, 1990. What happened? A sporting event was interrupted in Toronto on the 28th of August, 1990. What happened? This time. Raywin, you can give a bit more info if you like.
Can I? Okay.
You could name the sport if you wanted to. You don't have to. I guess, you know, you take it for a walk, see where you end up. And while you're writing those answers, here's some more info on satanic leaf-tailed geckos. According to animalia.bio, the satanic leaf-tailed gecko is a small species of gecko that can be found only on the island of Madagascar. The gecko occurs in a variety of colors, including hues of purple, orange, tan, and yellow, but is often mottled brown, with small black dots on the underside that help to distinguish it from similar species. It has long spines on the head, body, and trunk. The tail is flattened and has a leaf-like appearance, and it looks so much like a leaf, it freaks me out a bit.
Oh.
Not as much as a fish with teeth, but human teeth.
It's on the list.
Yeah, it's on the list. Some geckos even have notches in their tails to further mimic a decaying leaf, and this trait seems more common in the males of the species. In addition, the satanic leaf-tailed gecko has an eyelash-like projection above each eye. During daylight hours, these adaptations help the gecko blend into its surroundings, and at night, it helps the gecko hunt for prey by providing camouflage.
I'm looking at this gecko. This is a baby dragon.
Wow.
Oh.
Do you think? Dragon-like qualities?
Yeah, I think, yeah, like a mythical sort of dragon. Yeah, totally, totally. That's wild.
It's like winged.
Yeah, it's quite an incredible-looking
wow.
thing. But, yeah, what do you think of that tail? It's like it looks so much like a leaf to me.
Yeah. I would say it looks
wow.
a lot like a leaf
yeah.
to anyone.
Oh. Personally, in my experience, I see it like a leaf. I don't know. I don't know if everyone can see it in the way I do, but.
I'm pretty creative.
It evolved that way, maybe.
Yeah, it's almost like that.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Mm. God made it like that.
Do you think? Works in mysterious ways. It's true.
Funny, Portelli.
Oh, Pro is see.
All right, just waiting for Raywin's here.
Sorry. Okay.
No, it's okay.
There you go.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
You really took that add more information to heart.
All right, here's question number 6. A sporting event was interrupted in Toronto on the 28th of August, 1990. What happened? The first major professional eating contest ended in controversy when one of the contestants in the Vegemite eating challenge was found to be using Nutella. Tim Hortons opened their first store and everyone left the stadium to get their 5 free Timbits. An ice hockey match was cancelled after a wild bear entered the arena. Not a tame bear. 6 naked men covered in oil disturbed an ice hockey game by being too slippery to be caught in the rink. A Major League Baseball game between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Milwaukee Brewers was halted because of a swarm of bugs. Or a pitch invader ran onto a curling rink. The twist? He had diarrhea.
Wow. It's quite a mental image.
Yeah.
Guess those brooms they use in curling would have
come in handy.
Well, yeah, you couldn't use them again, though.
No.
One and done.
Any thoughts here? Anyone got an instinct?
I feel like I've gone first.
Yeah, Portella, you want to jump in here?
Yes, I would love to. Can I have those options again?
Professional eating contest where someone had subbed in Nutella instead of Vegemite?
No.
No, why would Canadians be eating Vegemite? Yeah.
Tim Hortons opened the first store and everyone left the stadium to get their 5 free Timbits.
That'd keep going.
An ice hockey match was cancelled after a wild bear entered the arena.
Okay.
Oh. Locking that in for Portelli. Then we had 6 naked men covered in oil, disturbed an ice hockey game by being too slippery to be caught.
Oh, no. Can I change?
Yes.
The bugs one. The bugs one. Yeah. Lock that one in.
A Major League Baseball game between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Milwaukee Brewers was halted because of a swarm of bugs. Or a pitch invader ran onto a curling rink. The twist? Yeah, diarrhea.
I like the twist.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to go Oily Boys.
Oily Boys for Prue. What are you thinking, Ray?
Maybe the bug one because it was quite specific. It's like Toronto Blue Jays. But then you know you're...
Specific like what the house would write?
Exactly.
Specific and yet not over-explained.
Delicate there was balance. No twist.
The twist? Oh, yeah, sorry. All of them had a twist that I didn't. Tim Hortons opened their first store and everyone left the stadium to get their 5 free Timbits. The twist? The Timbits gave them diarrhea.
Actually flows perfectly into their next story.
Beautiful. Yeah, no, I'm going to do the bug one too.
The bug one too? All right, locking that in. Here's who wrote the answers. The Vegemite one, that was the house. Oh. Tim Hortons, that one was Prue.
So Canadian. Oh,
yeah, good specificity.
What's a Timbit?
A Timbit is a donut hole.
Yeah.
Glazed donut hole.
Oh,
they're called awesome. Bites at Krispy Kreme.
Right. You call them a creme bit. Rather than a Timbit because Tim's Tim Hortons, right?
They call it a cream hole. You're thinking of cream holes, right? Oh,
God. The ice hockey match being cancelled because of a wild bear. That was also the house.
Ooh. Thank God I changed.
A pitch invader ran onto a curling rink. The twist? Yeah, diarrhea. That was Portelli.
Yes.
I don't know. I was going to say.
Means one of you is correct. 6 naked men covered in oil disturbed an ice hockey game by being too slippery to be caught in the rink. That was Raywin.
Good job, Raywin.
So
it seems very Canadian.
Yeah.
1 point for Raywin there. But the correct answer was a Major League Baseball game between the Toronto Blue Jays and Milwaukee Brewers was halted because of a swarm of bugs. So that means 1 point to Portelli and 2 points to Raywin.
Unbelievable.
Our first multi-point round. And also Prue's hot streak comes to an end.
Wow, it had to happen. I actually threw it.
But that has done it's done amazing things to the scoreline. After 6 rounds, with only 1 question to come, The scoreline is now the house on 4 points, Portelli on 4 points, Raywin on 5 points, Prue on 5 points.
Ooh, wow.
Throw a blanket over this field. It is anyone's game.
This really is anyone's game.
All right. So the final question comes from Joel Acklin from Arlington in Texas. And we always finish with a film synopsis question. This week, the question is, what is the synopsis for the 1987 film Street Trash? What is the synopsis for the 1987 film Street Trash? And while your answers are being written, here is some more information about the baseball bugs via a Seattle Times report from the following day. Swarms of gnats had players swatting at midair, causing a 35-minute delay last night in the American League game between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Milwaukee Brewers, and forcing closure of the stadium's retractable roof. "I've never seen anything like it," said umpire Don Denkiner, the crew chief who stopped the game in the fifth inning. "I've seen games called by rain, wind, and snow, but never bugs." Denkiner said there were so many bugs, it was impossible for not only the players, but the umpires as well. The tiny insects forced players to run for cover and spray each other with insect repellent. Milwaukee pitcher Ted Higuera had hundreds on him. They were all over his shoulder, arms, and head, Brewer manager Tom Treblehorn said. It's so funny that's been reported on like it's a real serious thing. There were bugs on him. Like, he had bugs on his shoulders and head. Honestly.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And the game was stopped for a bit over half an hour.
Wait, can I ask, when was Street Trash, what year was it?
1987.
87. Okay, great. Thank you.
So the one that specifically talks about the, like Bob Hawke prime ministership or something.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
It's like quite clearly a Raywin one. Higuera handled the bugs and the Blue Jays tossing a six-hitter in his team's 4-2 victory. The problem lessened with the roof closed and the air conditioning turned up. They had air-conditioned stadiums back in 1990. Truly, Canada lives in the future.
I really do need absolute silence for this one.
Yeah, I know. It's the hardest one to write.
It's so
yeah.
hard.
Just add that extra line in there for you, Portelli. I'm guessing that's meant to go, that extra little tidbit.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you think this is going to give it away?
I think this is going to give it away, but uh-huh. It's okay.
We're like, oh, it feels like there was a late edition.
It should have finished there.
I don't think so. I like the paranoia, though. All right, the answers are in for question number 7. What is the synopsis for the 1987 film Street Trash? It's time for New York City to take out the trash. The street trash. The NYPD are cracking down on littering in an epic and high-stakes tale about answering the call of duty, finding generosity in the most unexpected places, and keeping things nice and tidy. But maybe a little bit of a mess is what keeps life interesting. That's option one.
Beautiful.
Option two, a liquor store owner discovers a crate of booze in the basement of his store and decides to make quick cash by selling it to local homeless people for cheap. Not only is the booze 40 years out of date, it also causes whoever drinks it to melt in an extremely gory fashion. That's option two. Option three, a musical comedy starring Barbara Streisand details a young woman's journey growing up homeless and learning how to better her community. That's option three. Option four, two lazy hazmat cleaners hide some barrels of toxic waste in the dump so they can take off work early. The barrels get knocked over and bring the trash in the dump to life.
Wow.
As the trash monster goes on a rampage, the two cleaners now have an even bigger mess on their hands.
That sounds great.
That sounds like an additional line to me.
Okay.
A man's battle to cover his street with trash because he wrote a lot of rude words on the street, such as bum and penis, while he was drunk on street rum he found in the sewer in a shoe that also had a condom in it. The twist? He had worms and a big anus. Well, finally, Joni, a sex worker in New York City, has had enough. One day, her pimp pushes her too far and she finally kills him. She knows there are more guys like him out there. And so Joni takes to the streets to clean up the trash.
Oh,
wow.
Feminist tale.
Mm.
So you got six options there.
Wow.
Do you want beautiful. Me to go through them briefly again? Or you got?
I think I've got mine.
I think I've got mine.
Okay, great.
Could I hear the last one and the mutant one?
Yep. In full?
Or, if that's okay.
Yep. So the last one was, Joni, a sex worker in New York City, has had enough. One day her pimp pushes her too far and she finally kills him. She knows there are more guys like him out there, and so Joni takes to the streets to clean up the trash. And the other one was, what was the other one? The toxic waste dump one?
Yeah.
Two lazy hazmat cleaners hide some barrels of toxic waste in the dump so they can take off work early. The barrels get knocked over and bring the trash in the dump to life. As the trash monster goes on a rampage, the two cleaners now have an even bigger mess on their hands. Then we had the one about the guy, he wrote all the rude words.
Oh.
And he also has worms in a big anus. We had the musical comedy with Barbara Streisand, her journey from growing up homeless, learning how to better the community. We had the liquor store owner discovering a crate of booze. He sold it cheap to homeless people, but it was way out of date and it ended up melting whoever drank it. Or the one about the NYPD cracking down on littering, but maybe a little bit of mess is what keeps life interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What are you thinking, Raywin?
I'm thinking that I would also watch the last one about Joni, the sex worker. I reckon it's that.
You lock that one in?
I think the one I would most want to watch, which I guess is
it's a different. Yeah. I mean, it's a different question.
I believe that's the question.
Barbara Streisand musical.
Barbara Streisand musical for Prue. What are you thinking, Portman?
I think it's the one about the man with the big anus.
Okay, lock in. Hang on. I think technically we might not be able to have you lock that one in.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just my computer program here isn't allowing it for some reason.
Okay.
Maybe do you want to have another try?
Okay. I don't understand why, but if the program says that that's not possible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's never happened before. But
okay. Can I lock in the first one, whatever that is?
Let's go through who wrote the answers. Okay, so a man's battle to cover his street art with trash because he wrote a lot of rude words on the street, such as bum and penis, etc. That was Portelli.
Wow.
That must have been why you couldn't lock it in, because you can't lock in your own answer. Yeah.
I think when I was writing it, I had such a sort of creative moment that I must have blacked out.
You're in a flow state.
When I came to, I was in such a deep flow state, and then when I came to, I didn't remember writing it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just sounded the most. Yeah.
It sounded the most plausible to me.
The two lazy hazmat cleaners who ended up creating a monster, that was written by Joel, the question writer, aka The House.
That one was good. That sounded like Toxic Avenger.
Very 80s.
Yeah.
Then we had Joni, the sex worker in New York City, who'd had enough, which Raywin picked. That was also The House.
Whoa. 2 points to The House.
One point to The House.
Thank God.
Joel wrote that one as well, the question writer, which I found, because the two you asked to be read again, they were both the Joel's.
They were very convincing, I thought.
Mm. Oh, maybe like he had more time.
Hey, don't sass Joel.
I love how defensive that was.
I think Joel did a really good job, personally. I think I really respect Joel and I admire him.
I would imagine he had a silent room.
The musical comedy starring Barbara Streisand that Prue picked, that was written by Raywin.
Oh, we did watch a Barbara Streisand movie recently.
Yeah.
So
knew my weakness.
Point for Raywin there. And then Portelli, you went for the New York City Police cleaning up the streets. That was written by Prue. Meaning no one got the correct answer. A liquor store owner discovers a crate of booze in the basement of his store and decides to make quick cash by selling to local homeless people, which ends up melting them all in extremely gory fashion.
Wow.
So it is a horror.
It's a low budget sort of. I'll tell you a bit more about it in a second, but that means we've got 1 point to Prue, 1 point to Ray, and 1 point to The House. All right, I'll add up the scores in a second. Carry the two. In the meantime, oh, no.
Oh, the computer's working.
So it has a 62% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Not great.
Reviewer Bill Gibron loved it, saying, "Street trash is a celebration of all that is excessive and exciting in the world of splatter films. It is a truly misguided masterwork." Reviewer Brian Eggett hated it, though, writing, "Street trash feels so determined to offend every demographic that it abandons any relationship with audiences besides an ironic one." According to our question writer, Joel, the writer of the movie said he wrote it to offend everyone on Earth equally. The director went on to be, I think it's his only film he ever directed, but he went on to be one of the highest paid cameramen in Hollywood, doing Steadicam for Terminator 2 and Titanic.
Wow.
So Joel points out a couple of the things that happened in the film, saying, "There's a part of the movie where a guy gets his dick cut off and people play hot potato with it. And one guy drinks the booze while he's on the toilet and flushes himself."
Well, it doesn't sound like it would offend me at all.
Yeah.
He says, "Great movie, highly recommended."
Wow.
All right, the final scores are in. In fourth place on 4 points, it's Andrew Portelli.
Thanks, everyone.
In third place on 5 points, it's The House. But the equal winners, each on 6 points, is Raywin and Prue. Well done. What a beautiful game and a beautiful result. I thought it could have been anyone's, right down to the final buzzer.
Yeah.
Prue, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me at Prue Blake Comedy everywhere.
Fantastic.
Just anywhere you'd look.
And you're, what festivals are you doing in 2023?
I will be doing Perth Fringe World in February 7 to the 19th, I think, with my show Unfriended. And I'll also be doing that show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Sick. How about you, Portelli?
My Instagram is entertheportman, and I've got a website as well called andrewportelli.com. I'm doing a festival show called Hey, Great to Catch Up in Perth, Adelaide, and Melbourne, and maybe some other places. If you just go on my Instagram, there's a link to all the different places to buy tickets.
And people have been saying best, what are they saying? The funniest show,
world record
for the funniest ever show? That's the early buzz I heard.
Oh, that's new to me.
Most oil on a man?
Yeah, that one I know about because I had to buy the oil. But.
And Raywin, what about you?
I am doing a Melbourne Comedy Festival show. It's called Bush Week, and you can find me on Instagram. Just Raywin's Picks is probably the best spot. Yeah, that'd be great. Come along.
Awesome. And you're undefeated, 2 from 2.
Unbelievable. I've beat The House.
Yeah.
Both times as well.
I'm on a real losing streak. We've had 7 in a row I've lost. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. As we are still a relatively new show, it'd be great if you could help get the word out there. Please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy it. Cheers for tuning in to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Well, that's a perfect take.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.